And then it occurred to me, what luck.
Okay.
I
so,
swore a solemn vow.
My family is really intense.
I was invited to a party.
Totally different.
And I never there was
a large Irish, Italian, Catholic family.
And here we are back once again on a Wednesday night for more stories from Exfabula, joined as usual on Wednesday nights by Leah Delaney, the co-founder and executive vice president and woman about town for Exfabula. How you doing?
I am great. I am absolutely great. And I'm actually not here right now because we are at the event as we speak at that Story Slam over at the Times Cinema, wrapping stuff
up. So hard to fake it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I know.
No, we can't get away with this. There is an Exfabula event going on right now.
Yes, there
is. So we came in last night. And
it's going really, really well, too. So
that's good. That's good. But we have stories for you on the radio if you are not at the event.
Yes.
And what's our theme this week?
Well, you know, it's funny. I was talking to a few friends of mine, and we were just talking about old albums we used to listen to. And then we sort of kind of jogged back to children's albums. And Marlo Thomas's Free to Be You and Me popped up. And I got to tell you, that's a swinging album. It's pretty jamming. And, I mean, you're familiar, right?
Now, that's something I haven't thought about.
I know.
Decades.
I actually have the album,
do
so
you
I
really?
Pulled it out. Yeah, we were completely like sober of mind, and we're like, "Listen to this. This is awesome."
Free to Be You and Me. Oh man.
Yeah, it's a spectacular piece. I mean, and it has a really important message as well. And I would pass it on to my children too.
Oh, childhood. Yes.
Yeah. So it kind of inspired me to think of that one jamming song on their Brothers and Sisters in the movie. Brothers and sisters, sisters.
I'm glad you're singing it and not me.
I personally don't have any brothers and sisters. Do you?
I have an older sister.
Shall we roll into the stories?
I think that's a good idea. Woman, yes. Yeah. I mean, how did having this record lead into the stories? I think that's what we're trying to get
to.
Yeah.
I guess the theme tonight is brothers and sisters.
Oh, okay. There we go.
Yes.
Got it.
All right. Let's roll right in, shall we?
Okay. First one. Here we go.
All right. Tim Schrapko told a story, Don't Blink. It's pretty quick, but he told it in 2012 at our Piece of Cake event. So let's listen to his sibling story.
Think about your 21st birthday. I'm not really close with my family. And as my 21st birthday was coming up, I looked to my extended family as people to celebrate that with. And so I turned to my good friend James and I said, I'm turning 21 really soon, and I need somebody to help me make that special. And he and his lady Lou were just the people to make that happen. And so the plan was to go out and get trashed, right? And so this really could have been an ultra short, but I was somebody suggested that I take long dramatic pauses and watch a baseball game. But we were killing time at his house, like I'm doing up here, and playing games, listening to music and whatnot, and waiting for his other half to come home, and then we would go out. And I got a phone call, and I answered, I said, hello, and it's my little sister, and I'm turning 21, so that makes her 15. And she said, hey. I said, hey. She said, when are you coming home? I said, well, I'm not. She said, but I made you a cake. Yeah, so I got hopped up on sugar and wasted on cake for my 21st.
And that was Tim Schrapko with his small, petite, but cute story.
I like when he said, this could be an ultra short, but if I stall long enough, I'll make it into a story. That was good. Way to go, Tim.
Yeah, nicely done.
Brothers and sisters, the theme tonight on our stories from Exfabula. That one was, I don't want to say it's a quickie, but it was a short one. What do we got next?
We're going to roll right into Connie Moradith's story. She told at the barbershop venue, which was at a Terminal Milwaukee event back in 2011. So here's her sibling story.
I grew up in a tiny, tiny rural town in North Carolina. Went to the same school for 12 years with the very same 28 people. It's a very different situation from Milwaukee and this community, but a very close community, to say the least. My dad ran the local fertilizer, feed, seed, hardware, crickets, insurance, you know, that kind of store. Had everything I needed there, and every day after school as I walked home, I could go in and he'd hand me a nickel and I'd get the little bottled Coke, you know, out of the back of the store. You know, life was good. One day I stopped at the store on the way home from school and I got a puppy. There was like a puppy there for me. So it's a pretty marvelous, idyllic environment and a great community. I wouldn't dare get in trouble at school because if I did, there would be about 10 people who knew about it before I even got home. So you kind of walked a thin line in a community like that. But this story is really going to rattle my brother just a little bit. In a community this small, we had sort of one of everything we really needed. We had one feed, seed, fertilizer store. We had one grocery store most of the time. We had one school. We had one stoplight. And we had one barber shop and one ladies' hair salon. But the most entertainment happened at the barbershop because it was really in the center of the town, right across from my dad's store. And my brother was a large part of that entertainment. I love knowing this about him now because he outgrew me by about 6 inches, and I can always put him in place with the one line about the barbershop. Because when he was little, everybody in Youngsville knew the day my brother had a haircut, because he was terrified of the sound of the clippers. So he would, we would all trek into the barbershop, and I thought it was really cool because the guy had a white jacket and looked very clinical. He would start laughing when he saw my brother walk in, and I knew I was going to get a lollipop. My brother wasn't, but I was. And sure enough, Larry would have to get placed into the chair, strapped in, and then the fun would begin. He would scream, and it was not the happy scream of a pig who had found fresh mud. It was like a really painful scream that the whole town knew about for days to come. My dad would come home for dinner that night, and he'd say, "Really wish I hadn't taken Larry to the barbershop today. I was right in the middle of doing some business, and like everybody left." Things like that happen. But same in small town in North Carolina as it is right here in the middle of Milwaukee, certainly the hub of the community and a lot of great memories, not to mention a little leverage over my brother even now.
And that was Connie Meredith with her brotherly love story.
You know, there are so many little boys who are scared to death to go to the barber, and that's what this story is about. I mean, her brother was like scared to death of the clipper noise, but yeah. I mean, getting up in that chair as a little kid and having a grown man come at you with, you know, something that's buzzing as gonna cut your hair out, it's scary.
I would assume that it would be sort of like an adult sitting in a chair with somebody coming at you with a chainsaw.
Well, okay.
I mean,
yeah, it's that kind of feeling. I can attest to that. I can remember. I didn't like getting haircuts. I mean, it was just, you know, it's not a pleasant experience, or at least it wasn't. It's probably better now because they give you probably toys and everything to play with.
But you get to like sit in an airplane.
Yeah,
they
whatever.
Give you like candy.
They distract you to no end. But I mean, back in the day, it was, yeah, I can get that one.
I just love the fact that she just gets such a charge out of like still like giving him, jabbing him with that story.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. That's what siblings do their entire lives.
Well, we're going to end tonight's show about brothers and sisters with a story from Clarence Sammy Armand. He's got a real good faking it story that he told, and I think you're going to like the ending.
All right, we're going to talk about faking it. Well, I'm just going to tell you about somebody that was a really, really good faker. It was my mom. Well, a little background about me. I was born in the Philippines. All right, and my mom met my stepdad, who was in the Navy, and he was white, and, you know, anyways, so met him, and then they took me here to the States so I could have, like, a very good American life, you know, eat cheeseburgers instead of dog. some of you caught it, okay. Anyway, so I'm going through living my great American life, right? Until I was about 15 years old. And I was going to school, and in high school, they were like, hey, you can't use your dad's last name. And I was like, what? What are you talking about? I'm like, so I come home, I'm like, hey, Dad, you know, I can't use your last name. I have to use mom's last name. It's like, well, you see, I'm not your real dad. So, yeah, so my dad not only is the same as my mom. You know, they're both faking it a little bit. But they figured they wouldn't tell me because it would be hard to know that he wasn't really my dad. He was my stepdad. And I was thinking to myself, what? I thought I was a really white guy with a really good tan. What the hell? So I'm like, all right, fine. You know, so my stepdad, which is nice, he came up, we went ahead and started, adopted me. So that was kind of nice. You know, I got the name, you know, his last name, got a new social security number, which is cool. You know, like, that'd be great. You know, I get to vote and stuff like that. So when I was 18, I figured I'm adopted. I'm an American citizen. I'm like, great. I'll sign up for the draft, start voting, doing all this stuff. Then I throw back now, let's say 20 years later, 25 years later, I'm like, hey, I want to go back to school. I'm going to go apply for a loan to go back to school. I get it. And I'm like, oh, this is great. I'm going back to school. Next thing you know, the loan office calls me. Says, hey, Mr. Almond, we need your proof of citizenship. What? I gave you my driver's license and social security number. I'm like, no, you need your naturalization. I'm like, what are you talking? I'm like, so I say, call Social Security. He's like, all right, so I call Social Security. He's like, hey, what's going on? I'm like, they're saying I'm not a U.S. citizen. They're like, wait, let me look, Mr. Almond. He's like, oh yeah, look, it says here that you're a legal resident to work in the United States. I'm like, what? Yeah, I was like surprised. I'm like, I've been voting since I was 18. Holy crap, I'm going to jail. Good thing I'm a Republican. Anyways, okay, no more politics. I'm sorry. Okay. So, another thing, they forgot to finish up my naturalization part of it. So, I'm like, okay, now I have to go and do all the naturalization. I became a U.S. citizen on September 18th of 2008. Thank you. Yes, I had to go through that. That isn't the best part. So now, bring back last year. So, this is 2010. I'm on Facebook. Like, hey, what's going on? Cousin pops up. It's like, hey, Porky. Thank you. That's my nickname back then. So they're like, hey, I have something to tell you. It's very important. I'm like, what? I'm not your cousin. I'm your sister. What? Mom never told you about us because she didn't want to tell your dad that he had other kids. So, yeah, so my mom pretty much lied to my stepdad for 35 whatever years that I was the only child. Oh, and again, my mom passed away 3 years ago, so she was going to tell me on her deathbed. Never got a chance to when I met her. She was comatose by that time. So, again, my mom was faking this whole thing to my dad. And, of course, I tell my dad next day, hey, Dad, do you know I have sisters? He's like, shut up. No, you don't. They're just scamming you for money. Like, no. And then I tell him the whole story about my sisters. And then my sister, I go, oh. And she goes, first of all, she goes, you know, you also have an older sister, right? I'm like, what? So I got two new sisters out of this. Yeah. And so my mom, of course, another good one, is that to wrap it up, I have newfound family now, even though my mom did fake a lot of her stuff. So I still love her, you know, and I still enjoy meeting my new sisters. So thank you.
And that was Clarence Sammy Armand with his faking it story.
I mean, the poor guy has gone through most of his adult life being surprised that if this is not your father, then guess what? You've got a sister. No, you've got another sister.
Yes, exactly.
You're not a citizen. Oh, poor man.
I love those. I mean, those are the best stories, the ones that kind of like twist you right at the end.
And, oh, that is awesome.
Know, not everybody can relate to that story, but still, you sort of join him in camaraderie, like, oh, here, come here, let me give you a hug.
What we heard tonight is a sample of three different shows these came from, and on a similar theme subject-wise. But the show is going on right now, and this is the kind of stuff that you miss if you don't show up. You get a whole, you know, a whole full program of stories when you go to the next Fabulous show. And we just bring you some highlights on Wednesdays.
Yeah, we do. And it's such a different experience, as you can imagine, sitting in the audience there with all of the energy and kind of keeping at the edge of your seats. You just never know who's going to get drawn at any time.
And like I said, some of these stories, like you said, they just take you and turn and twist and give you a surprise ending sometimes. And they're funny, they're poignant, they're touching. Yeah, who knows? It's good stuff. So after tonight, what's going on?
Well, we have another event showing up in March. We need you to go to xfabula.com to check it out. But I can tell you the theme is oops. So I'm sure somebody out there in Milwaukee land has a story about oopsing somehow.
I think so.
Yeah.
All right. More details at xfabula.com. And you'll be here again next week with more stories. And we thank you for coming in and doing this every week.
Thanks so much, Bruce.
WUWM is supported by Turner Hall Ballroom, February 26th. It's an evening with Scythian, where rock meets Celtic dervish fiddling. Scythian plays immigrant rock with storytelling, songwriting for a barn dance rock concert experience. Scythian, February 26th, Turner Hall Ballroom. Tickets available now at papstheater.org.
It's great to have you along this afternoon for Here and Now at 119. And coming up in just over 10 minutes, the next episode in our weekly installment on children and gun violence in Milwaukee, Precious Lives. That's at about 1:33. The weather for today, clouds rolling back in. It's going to be breezy with wind gusts up to 20 miles an hour. High temperature around 15 degrees, but it's going to feel much colder. For tonight, some scattered snow, mainly though just cloudy and cold with wind chills down to negative 10 degrees.